You may be seated. If you have God's word with you, will you please open your Bible to Psalm 119? Psalm 119. I've said this way too many times, but this is one of my favorite psalms. probably is my favorite psalm, Psalm 119. One of my favorite chapters, if you want to use the term chapters, or the Psalms, it's one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. Psalm 119, longest one in the Bible, 176 verses. We're going to go down to verse 161 for our text this morning, Psalm 119, and verse 161, verse 161. And the Bible says there in Psalm 119, verse 161, "Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word." Princes is a Bible word used often in reference to politicians. And the statement is that they persecuted me without a cause. Usually, persecution is without a cause from whatever source, because as we noted in our Sunday school class this morning, it's usually for righteousness' sake, for Jesus' sake. People get persecuted because they do the right thing, and they get persecuted by people who do not do the right thing and want to silence things that may be causing them a guilty conscience. So that's the sense of princes have persecuted me without a cause, no reason for it. But that's not the part we're going to address this morning. We want to notice the second part of that, and the reason for the second part is simply the first part. Princes have persecuted me without a cause. My response to that is this: my heart standeth in awe of thy word, of God's word. My heart stands in awe of God's word. And that would be one of the reasons for the persecution, because the attitude of your heart towards the word of God. That would also be the proper response when persecution does come. You just continue to stand in awe of God's word. So that's what I want to address this morning for a little bit. My heart standeth in awe of thy word, of the Bible. My heart stands in awe of God's word, the Bible. I hate it that the world has seemed to ruin a real good word, that word awe and awesome. So I'm going to try real hard. You just smack me or look at me real ugly or something like that if I say awesome in here. It's come to the point where I don't even like that word awesome, because I think the world had just completely destroyed it as far as what it really, really means. And you know, they attach awesome to just about anything. But there really is very little in this world that truly is awesome. There's some neat things and some even great things. But to say that something is awesome is reserved for very, very unique things. All right? The Bible is one of them. My heart standeth in awe of thy word. God's word certainly is a very unique thing, and it is a thing to behold. In verse number 18 of Psalm 119, the psalmist prayed, "Lord, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law," because there are wondrous things in this Bible. In verse 129, the psalmist said, "Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul love them." They really are. And so as he gets near the end of this particular psalm, by the way, all 176 of these verses in this longest chapter, and certainly the longest psalm in the Bible, every one of the verses is about the Bible. It's about God's word. It's called by several different terms, including his word, his judgments, his testimony, his statutes, his precepts, and whatever else we left out. commandments, I think, is another term used in there. But those all references to God's Word. And, of course, we have God's Word in the Bible. And so I want to talk about this matter of being in awe of God's Word. All righty. First of all, let me tell you what the word means. The word awe means, it comes from a word that in its root simply means to be astonished. But the official Webster's 1828 dictionary of the word awe is, number one, fear mingled with admiration or reverence. Reverential fear is the first definition of awe. The second definition, similarly, is fear. Dread inspired by something great or terrific. And certainly as we look at the use of the word awe in the Bible, we certainly see that is certainly the idea of the word. My heart standeth in a reverential fear, a fear mingled with admiration and reverence for God's Word. My heart standeth in dread, inspired by something great or terrific. That certainly is the meaning and the idea of the word awe. The word is only used three times in the Bible. It's all in the Psalms. The first one is in Psalm number 4. Don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but listen carefully. The Bible says in Psalm 4, verse number 3 and 4, "But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him." That is a tremendous truth. That is a great and terrific truth, if you please. That the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. In other words, a person that belongs to God, God has set you apart for himself. And because he has, the Lord will hear when I call unto him. That is a great, great truth. And in light of that truth, the Bible says the next statement, "Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still." This word is reserved for very unique things, and this is a very, very unique, great, terrific thing that we admire and even reverence, and it's kind of scary that God has set us apart for himself. We belong entirely to God, and God will listen to us when we call upon him. He will. That is something to stand in awe of, to dread, and even to fear with admiration and reverence, the position that God has placed us into. The other reference to the word awe, the other use of the word awe, is in Psalm number 33. Psalm 33. And the Bible tells us there in Psalm 33 and verse number 8. Psalm 33 and verse number 8. The Bible says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him." Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. That all the inhabitants of the world stand in a fear mingled with admiration or reverence, stand in a reverential fear, in a dread inspired by something great or terrific, namely God. And then the third use, of course, is in our text for today, verse 161, "My heart standeth in awe of thy word." When it comes to the Bible, we look at the Bible with a fear mingled with admiration or reverence. We look at the Bible with a reverential fear, with a dread inspired by something great or terrific. It really is something that we need to be in awe of. And matter of fact, the Lord said in Isaiah chapter 66, we've referred to this passage many, many times over the years. Psalm 66, to this man will I look, the Lord said, even to him that's poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. Trembles at my word. And then the Lord went ahead in Psalm or Isaiah 66 and explained just a few verses later that at the end of things, after the judgment and everything else like that, and people that mocked us and ridiculed us because we took the Bible so literally and we took it so seriously and we held it in such high esteem, the Bible says that when the Lord comes back, he's going to appear to their shame and to our joy because we had such a holy, reverential fear mingled with admiration and reverence for God's holy word. God says, in the end, you're going to find out that's what he's had his eye on. That's what he's going to bless. That's what he's going to reward. That's what's going to set a person apart from everybody and everything else, is our heart towards God's word. My heart standeth in awe of thy word. Notice that all three of these references to being in awe use the word standing in it. Stand in awe, stand in awe, stand in awe. All three of them say that. That word stand is not simply referring to an upright position as opposed to sitting down or even lying down. It's not talking about the position of your body. All right? The text in Psalm 4 said stand in awe, but commune with your heart upon your bed. I don't stand on my bed. Every now and then I do if I'm putting a nail in the wall or something like that or knocking a cobweb off the ceiling. But don't tell my wife, all right? Not supposed to stand on the bed. It's not good for the mattress. It's not talking about the position of your body. Stand in awe has to do with the fact you just, that just marks your life. You know, when the Bible talks about stand against the wiles of the devil, having done all to stand, it's not talking about the fact that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, don't ever sit down or lay down. Keep upright on your feet all the time. That's not what I was talking about. It's talking about you take that position and you stay there. You take that position, you let that mark your life, that this is where you stand. This is your position. This is what I stand. I stand on, when it comes to this Bible, my position on this Bible, I am in awe of God's word. It is unlike anything else. All right, so I want to give you several things this morning from Psalm 119 about God's word. The Bible says in Hebrews 4 and verse number 12, but the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, the Bible says. It's quick and powerful, the Bible says. So first of all, this morning, I want us to consider the fact that we need to stand in awe of God's word because of its power. We need to stand in awe of the power of this Bible, of your Bible that you hold in your hand, your King James Bible, that God has given to us through the ages, perfectly preserved and purified 7 times. God has given us an absolutely perfect, complete, final, settled revelation of his truth. We are privileged in all of history to have it in our hands, in our language, and it is the most powerful book ever on the earth, ever. All right? Most powerful book that ever will be on this earth. We need to stand in awe of the power of the Bible. Let me give you several things that the Bible has the power to do. Let me give you several things. You pick out what you need, all right? And by the way, you'll need all of them at some point or another. There may be some that you need more than others, and there may be some you need more often than you need others. And there may be some you need right now, some you just did need a little bit ago, some you're going to be needing in the future, but you're going to be needing all these, but see what you need right now. Psalm 119, number one, these are not in any particular order. Just the order that we come through them, to them as we go through God's word. Number one, this Bible has the power to clean up your life. This Bible. And by the way, when we talk about the power of this Bible, we're talking about the power of the Bible all by itself. We're not talking about the Bible having the power along if we mix it with some other stuff. if we get some other books and mix that with it. All right, we can take this Bible all by itself. You can take your Bible, go into a room somewhere, and lock yourself in, just you and the Holy Spirit of God in your heart, and the Bible in your hand, and you can get the help that you need. You can, and you can get it from the Bible and from the Bible by itself. This Bible is that powerful. Number one, it can clean up your life. Verse number 9, we'll go back to the beginning, work our way through, and find several things here that this Bible has power to do that ought to leave us literally shaken in our boots at the power of this Bible. It ought to leave us with a fear mingled with admiration and reverence for this Bible here, what it can do in our life. It effectively leaves us inexcusable. Trying to get to the first thing. But we keep talking about the Bible. It is something to be feared and reverenced and admired and to stand in awe of. God has given to us exceeding great and precious promises. We need to look at it. Number one, it has the power to clean up your life. Verse 9 of 119 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." What's that mean? That simply means if you want to clean up your life, clean up your mind, clean up your thinking, clean up your act, get your act together, here's how you do. You take God's word, you take your life, and you make a match. All righty? You take heed thereto. Take heed to your way according to thy word, the Bible says. You do not change the Bible to match your life. You change your life to match the Bible. Now, that's one of the reasons I might insert why you've got so many multiplied versions of the Bible, because people are always trying to change the Bible to fit what they already think or believe or want to do. Don't do that. Take this settled forever Bible and just adapt your life, adjust your life wherever necessary to what this Bible says, and your life will get cleaned up. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." If you will match your life up with the Bible, you will have a clean life. It won't be filthy and spotted and polluted and defiled and everything. It'll be clean. Verse number 11, thy Bible says, verse number 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." The Bible will clean up your act. It will get it together. The Bible will clean you up. It'll clean up your mind. You know, Jesus told his disciples, John 15 and verse number 3, "Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Remember the story about Jesus the night before he died on the cross, taking a little bowl of water and a towel, and in that upper room going through and washing all the disciples' feet, He told them that, basically he taught them a lesson here, that as you go through life every day, you don't have to get saved again. You don't have to get saved every day. But as you go through life, your feet get dirty just walking through life. You're not stomping through the mud. You're just walking down the street of life, and your feet get dirty, and you need to take care of those things. And you need to do that every day. All righty? That's what the Bible does. So after you've been out in that world fighting the world and fighting the flesh in the world and fighting the devil behind all of it, and your mind is just fluttering and polluted and everything else from the things you see just walking down the street, then you sit there, if you do this and watch your idiot box for a few hours in the evening, and your mind is just cluttered and polluted and everything else like that, get yourself your Bible, sit down with the TV off and the computer off and everything else off, and your mind on, and read the Bible for a good while, and it will clean you up. And you will be refreshed and cleansed, because that's what the Bible has power to do all by itself. The Bible has power to do that, to clean you up. Number two, the Bible has the power to quicken you. That word simply means to add life to you. It has the power to, that's what quicken means, to make alive. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Quicken is the opposite of dead. It means to give you life. Not just in the sense that he saves you and gives you eternal life, you go to heaven when you die, but in the sense that you've got some energy to you. You've got some life to you. The word is quicken. You're not just existing. You're not just laying there breathing in and out, and we say, yeah, you're alive, you've got some life to you, some energy to you. You could even go so far as to call it some enthusiasm or some zeal or something. You've got some an energized life, if you know what I'm saying here. And that's what the Bible does. Verse 25, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Quicken me according to thy word. Verse 37, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Verse number 40 said, behold, I've longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Verse number 50, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Verse number 93 said, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. Verse 107, he said, I'm afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Those things that would beat you down and dry you up. He says, Lord, take this Bible here and energize me again. Revitalize me. Revive me. Give me some life back. Don't let me be dead and dry and all that kind of stuff. Don't let me be in some stupor here where I'm just kind of in a daze, in a fog. I'm just kind of asleep all the time, spiritual. I'm just going through the motions. Let there be some energy to me and some life to me. Quicken me. And he says, you do it with your word, and you do it according to thy word. That's what the Bible has power to do. You know, sometimes we may get in such a condition where we're a little flat. Sometimes we call it backslidden. Sometimes we just call it cold. Sometimes we just kind of call it dull. Just kind of flat right now. Sometimes we call it burned out. You know what'll fix that? You stand in awe of God's word. You admire this thing with a reverence and a fear. You get in the word of God honestly and seriously, and it'll fix that. All right? It'll bring it back. It'll quicken it. It has the power. Number three. In verse number 28, to strengthen you. Verse 28, my soul melteth heaviness. In other words, the idea is there's all kinds of heavy things just really weighing on me. The burdens are just really, really great, really heavy. I'm just melting under that. Strengthen me, though, is his prayer, according unto thy word. Strengthen me according unto thy word. You read in Daniel chapter number 10, how that Daniel was strengthened as he was spoken to by the word of God. Strengthen me according unto thy word. That's what the Bible has power to do. If you will just have such a heart for the Bible that you will let the Bible do what it has power to do, it will leave you standing in awe. This Bible will give you courage. This Bible will give you nerve, if you please. It will give you boldness. It will give you power. It will give you strength. It will give you strength. It will. You can be strong in the Lord, but not without the Bible. Not without the Bible. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Number four, it has power to save. It has power to save. Verse 41, let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. God has mercy on a soul and saves that person from their sins and gives them the Holy Spirit to indwell them and eternal life as a free gift to God, from God. That too comes from the word of God. You are born again by the word of God, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 23. The Bible says in James chapter 1, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. All right, we see with meekness the engrafted word, the Bible says in James 1, which is able to save your soul. See, this Bible has power to do that. Continue in the things which thou hast learned, and remembering whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Our point is, the Bible has power to save a person. Verse number 94 says, I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precept. In other words, I have looked in the Bible for the truth about how I can be saved, and I have found that as a sinner, I cannot save myself. As a sinner, Jesus took my place. He took my sins upon himself. He died in my place. He died for my sins. He was buried. God was satisfied. God raised him from the dead, and he alone is the Savior, and I can call upon the Lord and ask the Lord for mercy, and he will have mercy on me, and he will save me. Verse number 107, or not 107, but 146. I guess it is 146. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Where do we find that out? We found that out in the Bible. See, the Bible has power. Is what we're talking. It has power that no other book on this earth has. No other book or no other thing other than a book. Not even anything besides books. Not of any nature. We got to stand in awe of the power of God's Word to cleanse, to quicken, to strengthen, to save. How about this one, verse number 43? It has power to give hope. You ever get in a situation where you feel like all hope is lost? We talked about the shipwreck in Acts 27 last week. All hope that we should be saved was taken away, he said. Paul said, hey, be of good cheer. I believe God. Well, that works. That believing God comes from the Bible. Verse 43 says, take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. Verse 49. I love verse 49. This is a great prayer promise for you in verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. In other words, the prayer to God is, dear Lord, you said something in your word that gave me reason to expect something. You gave me a reason to hope something. Now, God, please remember what you said. Please remember that word. That's the word upon which thou hast caused me to hope. See, that's what the Bible does. It has power to give you hope when there is no hope from any other source. News media is not going to give you much hope, is it? Hollywood's not going to give you any hope. Most religion is not going to give you any hope. They're going to give you a bunch of false hope, which is worse than no hope. The Bible will give you hope. It'll give you real hope. It'll give you godly hope. Hope is not a cross your fingers and hope for the best. It's not wishful thinking. Hope in the Bible is both sure and steadfast, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6. It's an anchor of the soul, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 6. And you get that kind of hope from the Bible. Verse number 74. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I have hoped in thy word. Verse 114. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. You know, in this world, you hear all that's going on, and you feel oftentimes like you need a hiding place, and you need some kind of shield to get behind, something to shelter you and protect you. And the Bible says, God, thou art my hiding place and my shield. And where do we get that from? God's word. I hope in thy word. Verse number 147. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried. That means I got up real early. I hoped in thy word. I hoped in thy word. Verse 155. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy precepts. Hope is gone. All right? They don't have any hope. All right? But our point is, the Bible has power to give you hope. It has power to give you reason to expect something. It has power to give you reason to continue on and to stay faithful, because it's not all over. It's not all done. It's not just throw in the towel and give up. You don't need to do that. There's reason for hope. That's you get that from the Bible. It has power to do that. And it has power to do that all by itself. Just the Bible is all you need. If you will get with your Bible and the Holy Spirit that lives in your heart as a Christian and honestly and truly seek God in this Bible here, you can have hope and get out of your despair and your desperation and you think that all is lost and there's just no hope. You don't have to live that way. You don't have to have that kind of feelings and those kind of attitudes. Number next, it has power to liberate. It has power to free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, the Bible says. Verse 45 here says in Psalm 119, I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Mrs. Neville played for the offertory, and can it be? My favorite verse is that last one. My chains fell off, and my heart was free. I rose and went forth and followed thee. Liberating the Bible, you know, when you just feel like your life is all bound up and you just can't do anything easy, everything's hard, and you just don't have any freedom. You just like you're forcing yourself and pushing and all this, and it don't have to be that way. I walk at liberty because, he said, the reason is I seek thy precepts. That's God's word. See, the Bible has power to do that. All by itself, the Bible can liberate your soul from the bonds of your flesh and this world and everything else like that, and you can do what you ought to do. All right? Next, it has power all by itself to comfort. Verse number 50. This is my comfort in my affliction. For thy word hath quickened me. Comfort in my affliction is comfort when you need comfort. Comfort when you're uncomfortable and you need some. You know, comfort when you're sitting here where it's all cozy and nice and safe and everything, and you really don't need that comfort. It's easy to sit there and say, yeah, boy, that's great, that's wonderful. But well, comfort when you're in your affliction. He says that's what the Bible, that's what the Bible is. This is my comfort. In my affliction, God's word, that's what quickens me. That's what energizes me. That's what enlivens me, God's word, even in my affliction. Verse 52, he says, I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. I've looked in God's word. I've seen what God has to say. I've seen the decisions and judgments that God has made and decreed and done in the past. And lo and behold, boy, what a comfort to me. What a comfort to me. Verse 76. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word and to thy servant. When your heart is hurting, the comfort that you can find in God's word is unmatched by anything, anywhere, at any time. God's word, thy merciful kindness. He says, let it be for my comfort, and that will be according to God's word unto thy servant. God's word that speaks to you when you most need it, you will find God's merciful kindness, and that will be for your comfort. The Bible has power to do that. The Bible alone has power to do that, to comfort you. Verse 54, it has power to give songs, to put a song in your heart. Verse 54, thy statutes, that's God's words, have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. We started this service with singing, a song about singing. I will sing the wondrous story. And God puts those songs in us as we read the Bible. The Bible said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And that's what happens when you let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. By the way, that's Colossians 3:16 is where you find that. That's just exactly like being filled with the Spirit of God. When you get filled with the word of God and what it does in your heart as it, again, quickens you and energizes you and enlivens you again and brings you back to life when you're kind of dead and flat and cold and dry and dreary and dusty and just kind of flat. Boy, the Bible will get you back to life again. It'll do some reviving in there, and it will put the song back in your heart again, and the step back in your walk again. It'll do that. He give us songs even in the night. The Bible says, "Thy statutes have been my song." You may not sing them out loud. I don't even sing out loud to myself when I'm by myself. I pity people who endured. Pat yourself on the back for surviving the 3 weeks when Ben was gone and I led the singing. I feel bad for you. That was awful. But when I had to lead singing, I didn't even like it. I don't even sing out loud to myself. I whistle a lot. I don't know if people like that or not. But but I like whistling at least. Because the point is, though, whether you're singing out loud or whether you're singing in your heart, or whether you're whistling or playing a kazoo or whatever you're doing, there's a song there. Regardless of how it's coming out because it's inside, and that gets there by the Bible. The Bible has the power to put that song in your heart. Verse 62, number next, the Bible has power to make you thankful. Verse 62, at midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. Everything that God has ever done, said, decided, or acted upon, he did it rightly. Boy, is that ever a cause and a source for thankfulness. You know, the Bible tells us that we're to give thanks in everything. The Bible says that we're to thank God for everything. The Bible says that we are to always be thankful. The Bible says that that thanksgiving also shall please the Lord better than an offering or a sacrifice will. Thankfulness. One of the most important things there is. Absolutely one of the most important things there is. And the lack of it is absolutely one of the most dangerous things that there ever is. One of the most deadly things that could ever happen to a person is to lose their thankfulness. And when a person does not stand in awe of God's word with fear and admiration and reverence, this holy book here, and so you slight the Bible and you ignore the Bible and you take it lightly and you don't pay a whole lot of attention to it and you really don't take it seriously and you don't make much effort to find out what it says, you know what's going down the drain? Thankfulness will. And when Bob Jones Sr. said once upon a time, when thankfulness dies in the altar of a man's heart, man is well nigh gone. Thankfulness. You know what? The Bible has power to fix that. You look at what God has said, what God has done, what God has promised to do, and what God is doing now. It'll make you thankful. It has power to do that. It has power to enrich your life. The Bible has power all by itself to enrich your life. Verse number 17, he said, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Deal bountifully with me. God does. He deals bountifully, not just sparingly, not just meagerly, not just a little dab here and there, but bountifully God deals with us. And he does so as you get into this word. And you see, sometimes, you know, God's dealing with, we don't even know it. But you get in the Bible, you start seeing what God does and how God is and how to recognize God's work. And you realize God is dealing with you. And you recognize he's not only dealing, but he's dealing with you bountifully. Verse 65 says, thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. You think, Lord, God's not doing nothing in my life. Yeah, he is. I got good news for you. He is doing something in your life, and it is called a good work, and he began it in you even before you got saved, and when you got saved, it really notched up another level, and he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He is not leaving you alone for a second, not until you get to the judgment seat of Christ. He's doing it. Now, see, again, you may not realize that. You get in this Bible, and you start seeing, hey, everything in your life, God is working it together for good. He sure is. I don't see God anywhere. Well, you don't have to see God anywhere. He's just there. You got to believe that because that's what the Bible says, all right? He's enriching your life. Verse number 124, The Bible says, deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. Aren't you glad that he deals well with us? He deals bountifully with us, and he deals with us according to his mercy. Our point is that as you get in this Bible here, this Bible has a power to enrich your life, and you can see just how enriching it really is with the Bible. The Bible has power to give understanding. How many times you ever scratch your head? I just don't understand. I just don't know why. I just don't get it. Why? We ask all those questions. Verse 104, through thy precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Through thy precepts, I get understanding. Verse 98, 99, and 100, thou through thy commandments has made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for, not because I'm a know-it-all, not because I got an unteachable spirit, not because you can't tell me anything, I already got my own opinion. That's not the reason I have more understanding than all my teachers. The reason he says I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. That's what I think on, and I chew it over, and I think on it, and I think on it, and I meditate on it. That's the reason. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. I just stay with the Bible. I understand more than those old white-headed whiskered guys sitting on the mountaintop. I got more than all of them because I go to the Bible for it. See, the Bible has power to give understanding. Verse number 27, make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. Verse number 34, give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Verse 73, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding, that I may learn thy commandments. Verse 104, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Verse number 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Giveth understanding. Verse 144, thy righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. Verse 169, let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. You want to understand why? Then look in the Bible. Look in the Bible. It will come to you. It may not come immediately, but it'll come. Understanding. The Bible has power to give understanding. Next, it has power to light your pathway. Verse 105, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It lights up the way you should go. How many times do we find ourselves in a situation where I don't know what to do? How are you going to find out? God's word. It will lighten up every step. It will enlighten your path. That's exactly what it is. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It will show me the way. You will make wise choices and good decisions and exercise good judgment if you will get it from the Bible. You will. That's what the Bible does. The entrance of thy words giveth light. All right? It does. The Bible has power to give you the answers that you need. The Bible has power. We got this one and one more. It has power to uphold you. Verse 116, uphold me according unto thy word that I may live. Let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up and I shall be safe. And I will have respect in thy statutes continually. The Lord told the Jews in Isaiah 41:10, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And the Bible says here, you'll do so according unto his word. Hold thou me up. I have respect in thy statutes, because that's what the Bible has power to do, to uphold you. Uphold you. When you just think you're going to fall, you just can't go on. Kind of like Gideon's men, faint yet pursuing. Boy, I love that statement about Gideon's men in Judges chapter number 8. Boy, sometimes that's the way we are. We just got to be held up, but we'll keep on going. The Bible will do that. The Bible will do that. And one last thing, the Bible all by itself has power to give you peace in your heart. Peace that you will not get anywhere else from any other source at any other time you can get from the Bible. Verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace. Great peace. It's said to pass all understanding in the New Testament. It really does. It's hard to explain. But as you stand in awe of God's Word at its power, it's an amazing thing to consider what this one single book, you don't have to have a library of thousands of volumes. Somewhere in all of that, you can find something that will give you some peace. Now, you got one Bible, you read that one Bible, and in that Bible, it has power to give you peace in your heart. It has power to give peace between you and God. When you and God are kind of clashing sometimes, it'll tell you about Jesus. And it'll tell you, by the way, if you and God are having a clash, it'll tell you which one of you is right and which one of you is not right. And it'll tell you which one of you needs to give, which one of you needs to confess, which one of you needs to repent. It'll tell you which one of you needs to get right, as if you didn't already know, right? But it'll tell you. But it'll also tell you that when you do, He is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and you can be right with God and have the peace of God that passes all understanding. When there's things in your life that's worrying you and you're fretting about and you're about to go nuts and you're, as Psalm 107 calls, at your wit's end, the Bible by itself has a power to give peace in your heart. Everything will be all right. God's in charge. Everything's still in His hand. Got everything under control. He's not off guard. He's not caught by surprise. He knows exactly what's going on. He knows what to do about it. Knows how to handle it. Knows how to get you through it. You'll give a great peace in your heart. The Bible has power to do all that. It's absolutely amazing. Now listen, you could search the length and breadth of this earth in every library that ever existed on this planet. Read every book, every volume ever printed, and you will not find anything that can do any of that all by itself. Anything that you will find that could give you help in any of those areas, it will give you that help by directing you to this book. You ever think about that? You can read books, and they say, here's how you can have peace, and it'll give you something to do. It'll be based on this Bible here. It'll be based on a Bible truth. It'll be based on a Bible principle. If it works, it'll be a Bible truth. They may not even know that, but if it works, it'll be in this Bible, all right? Because this Bible is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And the psalmist said, David said, that I stand in fear mingled with admiration and reverence. I stand in a dread inspired by something great. That is this Bible. You don't treat this Bible like any other book. All righty? You don't treat it like any other book because it's not like any other book. That's why my own personal opinion, for whatever it's worth, which is not worth a spit in the ocean, that's why I like my Bibles to look like Bibles. I want a book that looks like a book. That looks like God's book, looks like God's word, looks like a Bible, right? When I hold up the book in front of you, I want you to see, hey, that looks like a Bible that he's holding up. I don't want it to look like just some novel off the shelf that you pulled out of anywhere in the library randomly. I want it to look like a Bible because it is. I don't want it to feel like a Bible. And I want, when I hold it in my hand, to feel like I'm reading God's word. I literally want to tremble because that is exactly what it is. God's holy word. I stand. That's my position on the Bible. This is not a good book. This is the book. This is God's book. It's God's holy words. That's my stand on the Bible. I stand in awe of thy word. My heart does. That's not my mouth. That's my heart. That's my heart. This Bible is going to meet me. I'm going to meet it at the end of the road. I can stick it in the back closet, bury it in the basement, give it to Goodwill. But at the end of the road, I'm meeting this Bible. My life is going to be judged by this Bible, by the righteous judge with his righteous judgments. I'm not going to be judged by God simply on the basis of his personality and his kindness and his loving nature. I'm going to be judged objectively by this Bible here. I best be taking it serious. I best be holding it in high esteem, standing in awe of thy word. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes this morning, every head bowed and every eye closed. Guess what? That's just point one. We got more to come. Maybe next week, maybe not. But I hope the Spirit of God would give you, if nothing else, just a great, great appreciation for the fact you have God's holy word, and will strengthen and increase your reverence for God's word. Listen, that's the reason we come to Sunday school and church. It's because we have God's word. We're coming to hear it. There's a lot of peripheral things that we do. But primary to church is coming to hear God's word. Taking it home with you every day, every morning, hearing God's word. Looking to God's word. Just the stand of your life, the position of your life is in awe of God's word. Let's stand to our feet, please. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to pray. If God has dealt with your heart about anything, maybe there's things in here we talked about today. Comfort, peace. You need some life. You need some energy again. I mean, you need your life just energized spiritually again. It all comes from the Bible. You can have it. You can have it. You can have it today if you get it. Why don't you come and ask God to help you to get in the Bible and to get in the Bible where you can most get it as quickly as you can. Ask God to direct you, because the Bible does that too, and get what you need. Dear Lord, we are so grateful for our Bible. Help us, literally, God. May it be the position of our heart that we stand truly in awe of thy word. I pray, God, we literally would fear and dread and tremble at such a priceless, holy treasure that we have. Such a powerful, powerful book that can do all by itself what not any other thing on this earth can do. Please speak to us. Help us to receive and understand what you have for us this day. May our response be what you'd have it to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. As ladies play, if you need to meet the Lord.